702. Movies.
Time for movies and what you can stream, things that you can watch over the weekend, things that you've watched recently. Let us know. Give us a call, 011-883-0702, and the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. Today we are joined by Showbiz Scope Entertainment reporter Diana Diana Kinanjui. I did practice, Diana. I promise I did. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Ooh, just repeat that again. Our network just dipped. Okay, we can hear you much better. All right, there are so many interesting things that are coming through. And I'm so glad that one of the things on your list I have actually watched. So I'm going to also give my 2 cents, but let's get started with a Soweto love story.
All right. So thank you once again for having me on your show. It's great to hear you back on the airwaves.
Thank you.
A lot. But yeah, just jumping right into it. I think A Soweto Love Story, it was a great film. I personally enjoyed it. Directed by Roly Nikiwe, who is from Soweto. I think, you know, some of the characters that they chose to have speak a lot to the storyline. For example, Lunga Shabalala, who plays Sandile, is always a catch. I mean, everyone loves to see him on the television. So basically, in terms of the storyline, there's a lot of things that are relatable because Lunga, who plays Sandile, is somewhat a struggling artist. You know, throughout the film, we see he's a producer. You know, he's trying to kick off his career, looking for the next big hit. And he loves his girlfriend, but the other challenge with some Sandiles that we know is the thing of thinking that there's cheating going on. So Sandile has this desire to take his relationship to the next level with his girlfriend, who's played by Motsoaledi Setumo. She is Sente. And unfortunately, when he wants to, you know, woo her and show her that he's serious, she finds a bra in his car and he cannot explain where it comes from. And to be honest, when I was watching the movie, I also didn't believe him. I felt like he was just another lying gentleman. But we see as the movie progresses that indeed it was not a bra of somebody that he was cheating with, but rather one of his siblings, one of his brothers, the girl that he was seeing. And I think one thing that I loved about A Soweto Love Story is just how you can't expect what's going to happen next. One of the main plots is it's three brothers, and their mother wants them all to settle down, and she gives them this incentive of whoever settles down first will actually get to win the family home. So you settle down.
Listen, I love so whoever settles down first. So that's the way to solve the issue of who's getting the house.
Exactly. So we see them doing the most, you know, trying to find a potential suitor. One of the brothers, he is a chef who has a successful restaurant, but he's just so picky in terms of how he chooses to run his life, how he chooses to run his restaurant. And he actually gets a chef. A female chef who's very different and unique to the people that he's normally exposed to. She has tattoos and she's very out there. And this particular gentleman, he's very reserved. So we see that as the storyline progresses, they actually fall in love with each other. But gracefully, it's actually Sandile towards the end who ends up getting married, but he chooses not to take the house. He leaves it to his mother. But I personally love the fact that we saw the reality of not every career is successful and it takes a bit of time. For example, one of the things that I loved was the element of Skumba Klope, who played Lunga, who was trying to come and take back things that Sandile was owing money for. So also we know a lot of people in the industry like to live a big lifestyle, but they can't necessarily afford it. So having the element of Skumba with him trying to be a gangster, you know.
And you know what I love about the incorporation, you know, of having the different types of actors under the direction of Kgolini Khiwe, who I worked with many, many years ago. Absolutely love that. But let's talk about Mea Culpa, directed by Tyler Perry. I did see all the flack online, but there's that part of me, I will sit through a Tyler Perry movie, and I did sit through it. Yes, it could have been better, but yeah. What did you think of Kelly Rowland's performance?
I think Kelly Rowland is an outstanding performer through and through, whether it's music, whether it's acting. She always gives us 10 out of 10. I love the wardrobe. I love everything about her in terms of the acting. In terms of the character, you know, I have a few questions in terms of her decision-making process.
Thank you.
Like, Mia, what are you doing?
You and I feel the same way. Were you like, girl, why are you? But don't you think that's what Tyler Perry loves to do in his films is like, you know, because here's a thought for me, and I don't know if you feel the same way. I wish that Tyler could allow somebody in to direct one of his films and we see the kind of direction we'd get.
Yes, no, definitely. I think there's always those moments of, why is this happening? Like, can it not go in this other direction instead of it being worst case scenario? So I think, like, it was interesting to see, you know, the different themes in the movie, like deceit and revenge. Also in terms of Kelly Rowland and her playing Mia, black success, especially within women, you know, within their careers. Also the fact that a lot of females are breadwinners, you know, it's something that is not spoken about, and we see it being displayed in that film. So I think for me, like, Kelly Rowland was a star, but in terms of the artist, in terms of everything that is going on, there was just too much. And I also think the element of relationships and how when people are hurt or when people are being disappointed, the levels that they'll go to, you know, to seek revenge on their ex-lovers or their lovers.
Yeah.
Those were quite really interesting scenes that went through there. But I know there's been a lot of negative publicity in terms of Tyler Perry and how he chose to showcase this film. But one thing that I really loved was just the authenticity in terms of people will not ever really do what you expect them to do. They'll always do something completely different.
All right, let's move on to Silent Night, that's been directed by John Woo. What's that about?
So Silent Night is about a father who is seeking revenge for his son's death. So there's a very well-known gang within the area, and they obviously, as gangs all do, have these territorial arguments and fights, which also have gun violence involved in them. And unfortunately, the lead character, his son, is actually shot during one of their drive-by fights that happens. And we see the whole movie of him playing out, trying to seek revenge for his son, trying to kill those who killed his son. And the unfortunate part in this movie is we see that when you focus too much on trying to seek revenge, you actually lose out on other things. For example, he ends up getting a divorce, he ends up losing his marriage, he ends up being isolated. And, you know, the unfortunate thing with that is in him trying to, you know, get vengeance for his son, he ends up losing most of his life. And I think that also it speaks to the title, because there's a lot of parts of the movie that are just silent, you know, where we don't hear anything. We just see acting, we see movement, but we don't really hear speaking or any verbal communication, but rather we just see like the physical movement. I also like the fact that Kid Cudi, you know, played a role there. Very interesting. Never expected him to be an officer because we all know him as a musician. But
yeah.
I think that was also a great way to showcase his versatility as an artist.
And then the last one I'm going to jump to, it having gone quite international, season 4 of Blood and Water, which is obviously this amazing series that came out of or inspired by a true story in SA.
Sure, Blood and Water. I have to confess that I watched it in one sitting.
Like, are you serious?
I didn't take breaks.
Yes.
I think this is the unfortunate thing about Netflix. when you sit down, it's not possible to just watch one episode. You end up binging and you feel like you're missing out on something by not clicking next episode. But just to touch on Blood and Water, I really love how South African series and cinematography has grown. Also the visuals in terms of Cape Town being the city where it's shot. The main characters looking at Puleng and Tekile and how in season one they hated each other, but in season four they are best friends and we see that they're sisters. I really love the different themes that are explored and not just understanding that most of the main characters are indeed high school students, but we also see the parents and how the roles of the parents actually affect their lives. So I love how the storyline encompasses different age groups and also showcases different challenges that a lot of people face in everyday life.
Thank you so much for coming to chat to us. I must say there is a listener who has recommended the Beekeeper movie. Have you ever seen it?
I have.
And what are your thoughts?
I think people should watch it. I enjoyed it. I think the only challenge is with all movies, there's different themes. For example, there's different genres. And it depends on what, you know, tickles your fancy. But I personally enjoyed it. So if you want something that's a little bit light, I would definitely suggest it.
Fantastic. And then, of course, others that you can try to tune into this weekend in terms of things to watch. There's a reality TV series called Bay Beyond Borders. There is the sitcom comedy called Working Moms, and it's a Canadian TV sitcom. I'm a massive fan of that sitcom. I love it. And the thriller that is White Lies. Thank you so much, Diana, for joining us for today's movies and what to stream.